भगवते वासुदेवाय ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय मॉर्निंग वी रीडिंग फ्रॉम द श्रीमद् भागवतम कैंटो 10 चैप्टर 44 टेक्स्ट 14 गोप्यस्तप किमचरण्यरमुष्य रूपम् लावण्यसारमसमोर्ध्वमनन्यसीधम् दृग्भीतिपञ्चम् सवापि नवम् दुरपम् एकं तदाम यशसत्रिय ऐश्वरस्य गोप्यस्तप किमचरण्यरमुष्य रूपम् लावण्यसारमसमोर्ध्वमनन्यसीधम् दृग्भीतिपञ्चम् सवाभिनवम् दुरापम् एकम् तदाम यशसात्रिय ऐश्वरस्य the gopis, tapa, austerities, kim, what, acharan, performed, yat, from which, amusya, of such a one, rupam, the form, Lavanyasaram, the essence of loveliness. Asama Urvam, not parallel or surpassed. Ananyasidam, not perfected by any other ornament. Drigbi, by the eyes. Pibanti, they drink. Anusava Abhinavam, constantly new. Durapam, difficult to obtain. Ekantadama, the only abode. Yasasa, of fame. Triya, of beauty. Aishvarasya, of opulence. Translation. What austerities must the gopis have performed? With their eyes they always drink the nectar of Lord Krishna's form, which is the essence of loveliness and is not to be equaled or surpassed. That loveliness is the only abode of beauty, fame and opulence. It is self-perfect, ever fresh and extremely rare. Purple. The word meanings and translation for this verse are from Srila Prabhupada's Chaitanya Charitamrita 84.156. Translation. The ladies of Braja are the most fortunate of women because with their minds fully attached to Krishna and their throats always choked up with tears, they constantly sing about him while milking the cows, winnowing grain, churning butter, gathering cow dung for fuel, riding on swings, taking care of their crying babies, sprinkling the ground with water, cleaning their houses, and so on. By their exalted Krishna consciousness, they automatically acquire all desirable things. Translation. When the gopis hear Krishna playing his flute, as he leaves Braja in the morning with his cows, or returns with them at sunset, the young girls quickly come out of their houses to see him. They must have performed many pious activities to be able to see him as he walks on the road, his smiling face mercifully glancing upon them. Sounds like a problem. Vrindavan cops to me. Text 70. Sukadeva Goswami continued, as the women spoke thus, O hero of the Bharatas, Lord Krishna, the master of all mystic power, made up his mind to kill his opponent. Text 18. Out of affection for the two lords, their parents, Devaki and Vasudeva, became overwhelmed with sorrow when they heard the women's fearful statements. They grieved, not knowing their son's strength. Purport. Naturally, Krishna's parents would lament in this situation, thinking, why didn't we keep our sons at home? Why did we allow them to participate in this corrupt exhibition? So in the first verse we read, what austerities must the gopis have performed? With their eyes they always drink the nectar of Lord Krishna's form. Rupam, Amushya Rupam, the form of Krishna. And Lavanya Sara is the essence of loveliness. These are the Aishwaryas, particularly Krishna. It's Rupam. Rupa Aishwarya. Four. Over and above even Lord Vishnu, Krishna has extra opulence, extra qualities. Certainly Vishnu has unlimited qualities, Lord Narayan, Lord Vishnu, unlimited. And you can read in the Nectar of Devotion all the qualities of the Supreme Personality of Godhead and of Krishna, and you know how many the living entities can have up to a certain point, and then Lord Shiva, Lord Brahma, Lord Shiva, then Lord Vishnu, and over and above there is Krishna. And one of them is the Rupa Aishwarya, the form of the Lord. The form of the Lord is incomparable, the words used here. was it this verse or the next verse? I think the word unparalleled and not parallel or surpassed. Asam Uddham. The essence of loveliness, Lavanya Sara. An asana udvam, not parallel or surpassed. And ananya siddham, this is interesting, self-perfect, not perfected from any other source. I was talking about this the other morning, that even the ornaments of Krishna, lovely as they are, beautiful as they are, Lord Krishna is so beautiful in himself that he makes the ornaments look beautiful. If he's wearing some ring, diamond, or the kastuba, the pearl, or something, normally very beautiful. But Krishna is so beautiful, he makes them look beautiful. The loveliness, he's Lavanya Asara, the essence of loveliness. And what austerities the gopis must have performed. Now, this is interesting because in this world, when Krishna comes to this world, he brings his Nitya Siddha, eternally liberated gopis, who are his intimate companions, they come to this world also. So there's no question of them performing tapasya. They are in their eternal relationship with Krishna. They accompany the Supreme Personality of God when they come to the world. But in the Shastras, as mentioned, there are three categories of gopis manifest in this world, or present in this world. One is the, of course, the Nitya Siddha, those are always in intimate relationship with the Supreme Personality of God, who accompany the Lord and come to this world. Nitya Siddha gopis. And then there's what's called Sarana Siddha. Sarana Siddha gopis are, they have become gopis because of their sarana. They are given a rare opportunity to be gopis in the Krishna Leela. And the examples are given to the sages at Dandakaranya, who were living in the forest there at Dandakaranya and meditating on Lord Gopal. Lord Ram happened to come there and he knew their hearts. And when they saw Lord Ram, they were reminded of Lord Gopal. And so, understanding that, Lord Ram rewarded them. And in the next birth, they would become take birth from the gopis. And so these are examples of sadhana siddha. Sadhana, or the personified Vedas. There's some of the personified Vedas, as mentioned, offering prayers, were given an opportunity due to their rigid sadhana and their practice vows. They were given an opportunity to take birth as gopis. Other sages also mentioned they were meditating on the Supreme Personality. Somehow or other, they got the by the mercy of the Supreme Lord, they got the opportunity, the rare opportunity, to take birth as a gopi in the Krishna Lila. It's very, very rare. So therefore it is said here, what type of austerities must the gopis perform? These sages, these sages in the Dandakaranya forest, and the personified other sages performed so many austerities, and by the mercy of the Lord they were able to take birth as gopis. So they become perfect by sadhana. And then of course there's other types of another type of gopi is the devis, the demigoddesses, they are demigoddesses. Somehow or other, by their austerities, their tapasya, and their good fortune, they are able to take birth as gopis in the Krishna Lila. And this is explained by the acharyas, that this happens when Krishna comes to the world and appears as some incarnation in the heavenly planets. He appears as some incarnation in the heavenly planets, and coming with him are his intimate gopi associates. Their partial expansions accompany him as demigoddesses. And those demigoddesses who can understand the reality of that situation, that this is the Supreme Lord Krishna coming, and these devis here and there are actually gopis. And that any demigoddess who has the good fortune of being able to have that realization, of course this must be the mercy of Krishna also, that they're able to, they get an opportunity by the mercy of the Lord to take birth as gopis in the Krishna Lila. So the Krishna Lila in Vrajdhana, as Ani Rita was explaining yesterday, that this is the highest position of a relationship with the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And there's all different levels of it. Categories of gopis also. These gopis who take birth in sadhana siddha, and then of course nitya siddha are eternal. They are accompanying the Lord. They travel everywhere with the Lord and appear in different ways. And then of course you've got the devis, and Krishna appears in all the universes. All the universes, continuously. We're living in this universe, and Krishna goes, this universe, other universe, now there's countless billions of universes, so Krishna goes with all his confidential associates, his entourage, and he goes one universe in. So he gives a chance to everybody, not everybody, but certain, he gives a chance to everybody to witness his pastimes, those present at the time, of course, and those later on, those who hear about that, they benefit. But certain privileged personalities who perform tapasya, perform later on, it's mentioned that perform tapasya, perform pious activities, perform some devotional service, perhaps, they're given a special privilege to take birth, perhaps in the Krishna Lila, in Vrajlila. In Vrajlila. So the demigods and the demigoddesses, now also the demigods, some of them are allowed to take birth as gopis, and the demigoddesses as gopis. So every universe Krishna goes to, he gives that opportunity. In every universe, of course, there's always sages performing tapasya, and so he gives the opportunity again and again and again, everywhere. God is always giving opportunity, someone desiring. In that way, God is giving opportunity, very, very, very rare, very special privilege. And, of course, when those personalities appear in that way, they're able to participate in the Lord's pastimes. Perhaps after that life, they'll go directly to the Krishna Loka, and perhaps, you know, be a gopi in the position of with Krishna and the principal gopis in the Krishna Loka. Opportunity can be there. But they're all different categories of gopis, as explained also in the various shatras. One is just shakis. Generally, gopis, they are shakis. Shakis, they are the ordinary gopis. And then you have what's called nitya sakis, those who are always eternally with the principal shakis and are able to assist in Lord Krishna's pastimes very specifically. Then you have the what's called prana shakis and priya shakis. Prana shakis are considered bosom buddies, friends of the principal gopis. Priya shakis, very dear friends, and paramapreshta shaki. Paramapreshta shaki are the principal gopis. Lalita. What are some of the names of the principal gopis? Someone else? Lalita we have, Vishaka, and? Champakalata, and?
Tumbhadra.
Huh?
Tumbhadra.
Subhadra.
Tumbhadra.
Oh, who?
Tumbhadra.
Oh, Tunga. Tunga. Yeah. Tunga Devi. And? Sudevi. Ranga Devi. And? Everyone know? Chitra, was that? Was that Chitra? How many were we? Eight principal girls. We have the eight there? Is that the eight? Alita is the chief. She is considered the chief. She's elder than Radharani. But of course she's Radharani's servant. And then next is Vishakha. There's descriptions of the gopis and their, you know, how they serve Srimati Radharani, how they serve Radha and Krishna. You know, even to, you know, what they look like, what they wear, what they like wearing. And all these, you know. So Lalita, Vishakha. And then you have Champakalata. She's got the complexion of a champaka. Got the complexion of a champaka cloud. And then you have, who is it? Chitra. Yeah? Chitra. Indu, is it Induleka also? Would you say Induleka? We said?
Induleka.
Yeah, so Induleka. Then Rangadevi and her sister Sudevi. These are the. These are the chief gopis, but there, as mentioned, that there are billions of gopis in the Krishna books. Billions. And then you have manjaris, another type of gopis. Manjaris are the younger ones. The younger ones. They don't enter so much directly in relationship with Krishna, or, you know, but they are able to go, because they're young girls between 10 and 40, they're able to go in the pastimes of the intimate pastimes of Radha and Krishna and do services without interrupting the mood of Radha, especially the mood of Radharani to Krishna. What is explained that you know, Radharani may be getting a bit embarrassed if Lalita's there or you know, Vishakha is there, but when their young girls is coming, she continues on in her intimacy with Krishna. They're just young girls. They're coming in, they don't disturb. All these descriptions are there of the different types of gopis. Of course, Lord Chaitanya, he prays gopi patakamalaya dasa dasa dasa. I wish to be born as the servant, the servant, the servant, the servant, the one who serves the gopis, who serves Radha, who serves Krishna. So, but they're all now. Of course, who's speaking here? The residents of Mathura, isn't it?
The ladies of Mathura.
The women said. Ladies of Mathura. What austerities of they're thinking in this way. How the gopis that they're, you know, here Krishna's come, Krishna Balan have come here and look at them. Look how we treat them. Right. Look how Kamsa's treating them. You know, even, you know, like Kuvalaya Pita, and now the wrestlers, and but you know they're thinking, oh, but in Braj Leela, just enjoying. Of course, in Braj Leela, Krishna and Balaram have to take care of a few asuras that come from time to time. Occasionally, it's during the day. The acharyas write that, you know, in the morning Krishna goes out with the cows and the calves and get the cows in, and you know they look after the calves, and then the boys have a few games, and then an asura all of a sudden comes and Krishna or Balaram kills that asura, and then they have breakfast, and then they have some more games, and they play with them, you know, like that, and then another asura might come, and then he kills them, and then he has lunch. So then in the afternoon, so mainly you have the different ages of Krishna. What is the first age? Kaishora age, and then Puganda, Kaishora Kumara, then Puganda. So in the Kaishora and the Kumara. Kumara age is mainly for playing with his gopa friends. And then as he gets a little bit older to the Puganda age, he's having more relationships with the young gopis. But you have to remember that everyone's young. Krishna's 7, 8, 9 years old, and the gopis are 7, 8, 9 years old. And then later on, he goes to Magwini's. Now, there's mention that when he goes to Mathura, his age is only like 10 or 10 and a half. But, you know, his form is like a yovana, full-blown youth, like 15, 16. And it mentioned here that the form of Krishna is ever fresh. The essence of not equal or surpassed is self-perfect, ever fresh, and extremely rare. What's the word used here? Ever fresh, anusava, constantly new. Anusava, abhinava, navajovana. So Krishna's form is ever new. That form doesn't age, just like Prabhupada. He would write like that. And said, Krishna and Dwarka later on, he was already married with so many wives, had children and grandchildren. But he looked like Navajovana. he didn't look like an old man with white hair and a beard or something like that. He just keeps that eternal youthful form continuously. There's no aging to that. It is not a material form, it is spiritual. So he has, Krishna interacts with the gopis, interacts with the gopas, interacts with all the residents of, so the ladies of Mathura are thinking like that, oh, Krishna had such a nice life there in Braj, in Vrindavan, in Brajdham, now he's come here, look at how Kamsa's tree, now there's wrestlers, Chanura, Mushtika, Tola, Sal, Kotala, and then these big, huge wrestlers, they were intent on killing Krishna. But the Leela of Vrindavan is so nice, and the gopis are there thinking of Krishna all the time. They hear Krishna's flute in the morning when he goes out, he plays his flute. This is another Aishwarya of Krishna, another opulence of Krishna that he has even more so than Lord Narayan. Lord Narayan is not known as playing the flute. Lord Vishnu is not known as the player of the flute. So this is called Venu Aishwarya. There are four opulences of Krishna. One we said Rupa Aishwarya, and now we're saying Venu Aishwarya. And Krishna's flute playing is unparalleled, unsurpassed. If you were able to hear the flute of Krishna, you would immediately get liberated. You go back to Godhead and go back to Krishna. If you were able to hear that flute playing of Krishna. And actually, there are different melodies that Krishna plays on his flute. There are different types. Krishna plays different types of flute. One is called the Venu flute. Venu flute is a small flute. It's just 6 inches on, very small. Piccolo. very small flu. And then he has Murali, which is the big flu. Usually made of bamboo, big flu. Maybe got 6 or 7 holes. Oh no, the Murali doesn't have so many holes. I think the Murali has only like 4 holes. And then the Vamsi is in between. So he has different types of flutes made of different, some are made from gold, silver, jewels, some bamboo, some marble, and all different types of flutes. And when he plays those flutes, he said that the first, there are 8 different types of melodies Krishna plays. And the first melody is so beautiful, so transcendental, it's so beautiful, that great demigods like Lord Shiva, Lord Brahma, Lord Shiva's in meditation, he can't keep his meditation, that sound comes to him, he breaks the meditation. Can't keep it. Lord Brahma, he's sitting on the lotus flower, and he just can't keep his meditation. By hearing that sound of Krishna's flute when he plays the first melody. The second melody Krishna plays, it is said that the rivers like the Jamuna stop and flow backwards when they hear that melody. And the third melody when Krishna plays, the third melody is that the stars and the moon stops still in the heavens, doesn't move, shimmering, just hearing that sound. And the fourth melody, when Krishna plays the fourth melody, then all the cows and the birds and the animals of Vrindavan, they come running, they're enraptured, they come running to Krishna. Sometimes you see Krishna, you may have seen a picture of Krishna with the flute and some the calf right next to him licking his leg or something like that. Come, when they heard the fourth melody of the Krishna's flute playing. The fifth melody, all the gopis come. The gopis, when they hear the fifth melody, oh, that's their melody. And when Krishna plays the fifth melody, they all come running. Just like mentioned here. They used to hear that when Krishna was going out, he'd play the flute, and when he's coming back, he'd play the flute, they'd all come running out, ready to. And then the sixth melody brings in autumn. Seventh melody brings in all the seasons. Krishna makes a show of all the seasons by playing that. All the seasons come in. The eighth melody. Who is attracted by the eighth melody? That's specially for Radharani. He plays the eighth melody with teacups. So Krishna's flute playing. So that is an Aishwarya. Venu Aishwarya. Rupa Aishwarya. Then another Aishwarya that Krishna has over and above, Lila Aishwarya, especially the childhood pastimes. Childhood pastimes of Krishna are unparalleled. Even the other incarnations, even Lord Ram, he had childhood pastimes. But his childhood pastimes were not as super excellent as the childhood pastimes of Krishna. That's especially meant by the Acharyas. Lord Ram had childhood, very wonderful childhood pastimes. Other incarnations, you don't read so much about the childhood. The Leela, even the total of their Leela, is wonderful. But compared to the Leela of Krishna and Ram, you know, they do so many things. Other incarnations, they come for a specific purpose. Lord Nrisimhadeva, you come to kill, you know, Balad, you know, and he does perform a few pastimes. You know. But Rama and Krishna especially the child, Leela. And of course, the Madhurya Leela, the love. Krishna's the love of Krishna is unparalleled, unsurpassed. The love he has between himself and his intimate devotees, and especially with Radharani and the gopis, that is unparalleled. You won't have this intimacy in any other form of the Lord or any of the other expansion or incarnation. So Krishna has all these wonderful qualities, and therefore the ladies of Mathura think, what hysterics that the gopis perform to be, you know, have Krishna's association all the time like that, and not even if they didn't directly have the association, they're always thinking of Krishna non-stop, as the next verse describes. Ladies of Braja are most fortunate of women because with their minds fully attached to Krishna and their throats always choked up with tears, they were crying all the time. Just like, you know, when a young boy, a young girl in love, sometimes, I've seen this too, even amongst our devotees. That, you know, one lady was, you know, she was so much thinking of, you know, the one she wanted to marry, and, you know, and just like, she was always crying. Just always thinking of that man. She was crying. Very intense situation. So the gopis are always crying, thinking of Krishna. They're so in love with Krishna. They're crying about it. Even if we're not directly in front of Krishna. What is that called? That some bog when they meet again and they separate. What is the separation called? Sambhoga is the meeting. And separation?
Vipralamba.
Vipralamba is the separation. Sambhoga meeting. So in Vipralamba, they're crying. But they're always thinking of Krishna. But they're crying in happiness. Not all crying is in misery. Some crying is in misery, that's for sure. Especially in the material world. In the material world, when someone cries, generally they're in misery. Sometimes someone cries and feels tears of happiness. But generally in the world we don't find so much like that. But in the spiritual world, the crying is happiness. They're missing Krishna. So, and they're thinking of Krishna. And we see here the very natural lifestyle of the gopis in Vrindavan, rural setting, and it's very interesting actually that, you know, what the culture was, what the culture, the Vaishya culture, how they would, you know, whatever they were doing, they were singing about Krishna. Right? Now these days, you know, you have all sorts of songs on the radio and so on, right? And people, they're walking to work or they're at work and they sing them. Generally the songs these days are about some young boy is singing some love song about a girl, you know, or I don't know what to do, some "Oh Betty, I love you" or something like that, and that's the song. Right. The women are singing about some man, "Don't leave me" or something like that. So these are the songs basically these days. And people hear them and they remember them and they sing them. And they, when they sing them, they're reminded of those particular personalities. Generally, you can't sing them for a long time, you get tired of it, right? But the gopis, of course, they're singing about Krishna. And the gopis, actually, as mentioned also, they're very wonderful, especially the close gopis of Srimati Radharani. Expert singers, expert musicians, just expert at everything. When they sing, that's another thing. When they dance, that's another thing. When Krishna dances, sings, that's another thing. The rasa dance. The rasa dance is considered the highest of all the leelas. Is it because the mixture of all the rasas of all the other leelas are contained in the rasa dance. Contained in the rasa dance. All the moods and everything that manifest in other rasas and other leelas, it is said it contained in the rasa leela. The Rasalila dance. And when they dance, all the moods, everything is there. And this is why the Rasalila dance is considered the topmost of all rasas and all leelas. Considered the topmost. Every night is going on. Actually, I've read that actually eternally it's just going on. Simultaneously. And Krishna is doing so many other things. So Krishna is there. Now, when we read that Krishna and the gopis and his associates come to this material world, it doesn't mean that now in Krishna Loka is empty. Krishna's not there. No, he expands himself simultaneously. He is there and he is here. This is spirituality. So the women, they were constantly singing about Krishna while they were milking the cows. So we see here the ladies are milking the cows. And winnowing grain. Winnowing grain means that's when they separate the chaff and everything like that. Winnowing means like that, yeah. Taking the chaff from the grain itself. They have various means to do like that. Sometimes you blow it, you put a fan on it. Sometimes you drive over on the way to. Isn't that what they're doing on the way to Maipo? When you go to Maipo, they put all the grains on the road there. You notice that? When you drive there, when you drive to Maipo, they put all the grains on the road. And then you drive the car over, and that separates the grains. And they just come along and pick it up. So this is winnowing. Anyway, the ladies were winnowing grain, churning butter, gathering cow dung for fuel. Very simple lifestyle. But everything's there. On our farms. You know, Prabhupada wanted our farms to be like this. I want to see it. Maybe some places they're trying to be like that. But we don't see it so much. We have all these things going on. Prabhupada told us, he told us that on our farms that we should be self-sufficient in four areas. Fuel, food, cloth, and medicine. These four areas. Fuel, cow dung. Here we go. Natural. You just keep cat, or maybe you got the fuel. Pick up the cow dung, fuel, burn it, keep the stove going. Very good, very nice fragrance also. Good for keeping mosquitoes away as well. You burn the cow dung, is it?
It's fermented with gas too.
What's that?
Fermented for gas.
Yeah, for gas. And also you can make a slurry, right? Put it just like you did down there in the underground in the Brahmachari. Make a slurry out of it and put it on the floor. Wonderful. Put it up the walls. Wonderful. Cow dung. Make a slurry. Waterproof and also very, very septic, very nice.
Antiseptic.
Huh? Antiseptic also, yeah. Very good. You have to keep doing it. You know, because it cracks and gets old after a while, so you have to put another slurry on another slurry. Very nice. So it's very simple life. So the fuel, the cow dung, and then the medicine, you just grow the different herbs and all the different things that, you know, just like they're making medicine these days when you go to the chemist, it's just made from, you know, things that you grow, sometimes artificial in the laboratory, but, you know, especially the natural medicines, you're just growing them. So Prabhupada said, yeah, well, you grow your own medicine. People are going to get sick in the world, you grow your own medicine. Grow your own medicine. And so medicine, a fuel, what is it? The cloth. Cloth also. Cloth, you can grow the cotton, you can grow the, I don't know, even the silk, and other types of, you can grow these things. And make your own cloth. Self-sufficient, you want it. You wanted our farms to be like that. And what else did I say?
Food.
Food, of course, food. You grow your own food. In fact, you know, a few times he said that our farms should be the most plentiful of our temples. So much so that they are supplying our city temple, their restaurant, everything. So they're all the needs. He said like that. All the needs. You know, he said that. Now, you know, when you have the farm, there's most often. So we see here that the gopis had a very active lifestyle. Living in the rural community, they were, you know, churning the butter, milking the cows, gathering the cow dung, always something to do. Even living out in the country. And if, you know, in their spare time they were riding, they maybe take the children on the swings like that, taking care of their babies, sprinkling the ground with water just to keep the dust, cleaning the houses, so many domestic. But now while they were doing these things, you know, sometimes devotees ask, you know, how can we, when I'm working, how can I think of Krishna? Why do you have to do one thing or the other thing? Why not both things together? Just like you see the gopis.
Mm-hmm.
You don't have to stop working and then to think of Krishna. Right? Or stop thinking of Krishna to work. Understand? Some devotees, oh, I'm working, how can I think of it? Do both. Yeah, we see the gopis are doing it. Of course, their setting is very nice. They're associating with each other, you know. But unfortunately, you know, we're living in an Ugra Karma society and have to go to the city or the factory and we're surrounded by the material. But still, even there, simultaneously you're working. You can't be negligent in your work. And Rupa Goswami has said that one should not be negligent in ordinary affairs. It must be dutiful. Do your duty to the best of your ability. But the results, don't be attached. Results, you leave to God. This is how to live in the world.
is how to live in the world. Secret. You can actually explain very nicely in Bhagavad Gita. Don't try to do another's work. Do the work that's born of your nature. You can, even though it's faulty, there's all this pain in the head. You may try to do, you may have an idea to do someone else, do another type of work, and you can do it, but you'll find that your nature will bring you back again to what you were doing before, eventually. There's all this pain in the head. So you live a life like that. And sometimes you can sing songs of Krishna, you can think of Krishna while you're doing your work, but you're doing both. So automatically, because of their exalted Krishna consciousness, as explained here, their exalted Krishna consciousness, they attain all desirable things. And Prabhupada, I was reading the other day, and Prabhupada said, this is the amazing, how do you put it? I'm trying to think of the words, but words to the effect that, and this is the amazing quality of someone who is 100% devotee, that they are just serving God, and whatever they need, God provides. Sometimes we get an anxiety, am I going to get that? I need this, I need that. I said, Prabhupada said like that, that God will provide. If you just serve God, He will provide. Don't be attached. Problem is, we get attached. I want the house, I want the car. And then when you don't get, what is God doing? I asked, He didn't give. There's no God. God will give you as He pleases and what is best for you. We may want $1 million or whatever, but whether God gives us another thing, He may not think is very good for you to have that $1 million. But He doesn't give. He'll hold it back. But then someone else, he gives so much. It's like Saddam Brahman when he went to go visit Krishna and Dwarka. And then he gave some chip rice, Krishna took. And then when he came back to his village, he couldn't even recognize, what's this place? So before it was just little huts, village people. Now all palaces, people walking around like demigoddesses and demigods. Who, what's this place? Then one lady was coming with the garland. Who's this? Didn't recognize him. It was his wife. He was dressed up in fabulous sari and all the jewellery and all the thing. Who's this? Before they were just wearing rags. I remember reading that. Saddama, they didn't even have to borrow the rice. They had to ask someone else for the rice. They didn't have any chip rice. They had to ask someone else for the rice. They were that poor. That poor. But then when he went back, he didn't even ask Krishna for anything. When he went there, his wife said, look, he went to the Gurukul with Krishna, struggling a little bit. Would you go to Dwarka and ask your old friend Krishna to help you? And he didn't want to do it, but he said, then in the end he said, I'll go there just to see Krishna. And I'll give him some offering. He'd like to go there and give offering to him. And then when he was there, isn't it right that he didn't even ask? He didn't even ask. But then when he came back, he thought, so Krishna can give, just like I was saying the other day, God wants to give you with your two hands, how much can you hold? But if God wants to take away with your two hands, how much can you hold it back? So some people He gives so much. Other people He takes it away. Because He's just doing for your good. If you're abusing, exploiting, not using properly, Krishna can take back. He's not ready yet to take these things. He's not using properly. Take it back again. Maybe He'll give you, but to take it back. Maybe He won't give you at all. Who knows? That's up to Krishna. That's up to God. Maybe He gives you, takes it away. Maybe He doesn't give you. Some other people, He gives. And one should not be jealous of others. What they get from whatever anyone has got, actually, is the result of their karma, which is coming under arrangement of God. But the people these days, materialists especially, so jealous. Look at their big house over there. What's he done? He must be doing something corrupt. Jealous. Why he's got? Why she's got? Look where that dress. Where does she get the money for those dresses? They must be stealing. Otherwise, how they can do it? We think like we're jealous. But that is maybe they are. Who knows? But whatever, just by some arrangement it is going on. So we should just accept whatever is given to us by Krishna. Don't hanker, don't lament for anything. Don't be attached to the results. God wants to give you, He'll give you. God doesn't want you. That is up to God. So, now the gopis automatically acquired all desirable things. And it didn't mean that, you know, all of a sudden Brajadhama was turned into Dwarkadhama by Krishna. All desirable things may be different for each individual. What is desirable for you may not be desirable for the next person. God knows that. For you, something desirable may be to live in the country in a nice peaceful setting. You know, that's your desirable thing. God knows that. Someone else may be to live in a big city. But that's on that side of things. But the desirable for the gopis, of course, is that they want to just serve Krishna more and try to do something. So Krishna rewards them. And in the final translation, when gopis hear Krishna playing his flute, they come out to meet him. I describe the different wonderful effects of Krishna's flute playing. They must have performed many pious activities to be able to see him as he walks on the road. Yeah, to be able to see Krishna walk on the road. Oh. What pious activities would anyone have to perform to be able to see Krishna walking on the road? So we see that therefore the ladies of Mathura were also very advanced. They could appreciate like that. Uddhava, I remember reading some time ago, where he is in a different rasa with Krishna. He is in that sakya rasa, but with a little awe and reverence. He's friendly, but he's got some he's got sakya with some dasya there. But he's very happy, but he appreciates Brajavism and Brajrasa. He's glorifying the ladies, the gopis. As the woman spoke thus, Lord Krishna, the master of mystic power, made up his mind to kill his opponent. And then the Devaki and Vasudeva become overwhelmed with sorrow. They grieve not knowing their son's strength. This goes back to what I was talking about the other morning, that in yoga, Krishna places his confidential devotees under the auspices of the Yogamaya pose. Sometimes it is placed on in such a way that they forget the position of Krishna. Sometimes he lifts that Yogamaya and they're able to understand Krishna's original position and everything like that. He lifts and he lifts it and then he places them again to enhance the pastimes, to enhance his leela in the material world. So this is all going on. Alright, does anyone have any question or comment? Yes.
Sorry, I missed the flute playing number 6 and 7
and 6 and 8, and there's a reason I'm asking this is, which flute did Lord Brahma hear before creation and something? I heard someone say that the Mahamantra was also calling a sign of self-control. Lord Brahma heard the Gayatri Mantra from the flute. He heard the Gayatri Mantra. He was initiated by Krishna. By the playing by Krishna's playing with his flute. When one gets the Gayatri Mantra, that's a diction. So it is said that Lord Brahma was directly initiated by Krishna playing his flute. I don't know which particular flute he played. Is that what you're asking? I don't know which particular, whether it was Bamsi or Murali. But he played his flute, and that sound was the Gayatri Mantra that Lord Brahma heard within his heart, and then he was initiated by Krishna.
Just a question, is there any one Gayatri Mantra or the other Gayatri Mantra
that point to? Well, that Gayatri Mantra played by Krishna Brahma is that particular. But there are other, there's more the, our Gayatri is, there's the Vedic Gayatri. And then we have our Pancharatra and our Gaudiya Vaishnava where there are extra lines of that Gayatri that are placed in by the Acharyas that are reflecting our Sampradaya. So that original Gayatri mantra, you can see that one of the lines of the Gayatri can come akin, you know, that particular line is the part of the Gayatri that Lord Brahma heard from the flute playing of Krishna, the Karma Gayatri, that Karma Gayatri that Lord Brahma heard. But then the other aspects were added, you know, in with the rishis and you know the Vedic Brahmanas chant particular mantras in their Gayatri, and then we chant other mantras as well in our Gayatri, reflecting our Sampradaya and everything like that. Any other questions? Yes.
Maharaj, you are telling about the flute playing of Lord Krishna.
Mm.
And it is said that when he is playing the flute, in that flute also he is calling Radharani. There is a nice song this Vrijavasi sing. Radha teri vasri bajaye Radha naam, Krishna teri vasri. Log kare meera ko yahi banta. It's a very famous song in India, they sing.
Oh, yes.
So they are in Krishna consciousness. Although they look Westerners, but they are still very much inclined to Krishna.
Oh, yeah, okay. Yeah. Radha Krishna ki jaya. That's from the flute playing of Krishna.
Yes.
They sing that song.
Playing of Krishna.
Oh, okay. That is about the Krishna's flute playing.
Yes.
Okay. Yes.
Maharaj, initially talking about the sadhana.
Sadhana, yeah.
And the fact that some of the gopis in the sadhana. Now, how do we understand this? That is that the eternal position of a jiva is already decided by sadhana?
The jiva is brought back up again. Now, one has eternal relationship with Krishna. This is a question that is quite interesting. One has an eternal relationship with Krishna, continuously. But then one falls into illusion and becomes conditioned and can come back to his former position through sadhana or kripa or whatever. Right? And by his practice and by pleasing Guru and by pleasing Krishna, one becomes elevated, and by God's grace one can be brought back either to his original rasa that was always there, or if God wants, and I heard Prabhupada on tape say this, if God wants, he can change that rasa and put you in another situation. I remember hearing that years and years ago when I was in Adelaide in the 70s. I just happened to be in the office and the tape was playing. I heard that and I played it back again. Yes, Prabhupada was actually asked the question, and can the rasa change, Prabhupada? And he said, generally not. Generally our rasa remains eternal, but if God wants, he can change it. He said, and he answered like that. So by sadhana we can come up, and we can, if we're desiring like that, we may be desiring, our rasa may be something, but we may be desiring another rasa. We desire it very intensely, and we're performing it, and then God, he knows it, and then he considers, all right, I can change it. All the way to Srila Prabhupada, he died.